With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of Playin' Buck starts right now, and our friend Andy McCarthy is with us with his latest thoughts on the crazy world we live in now of the Democrats celebrating the indictment of Donald Trump by Alvin Bragg in New York City. And we have Andy, of course, is a Fox News contributor. He is a former prosecutor from the Southern District of New York, over 20 years there. Andy, great to have you back on, sir. Let's just start with your, we just want the Andy reaction to, wow, they actually are doing it. They're doing it.
They fooled me, Buck, because I thought when they said the grand jury was gone for a month, it looked like he was folding. And obviously
same here, by the way. We just assumed it's, that seems like a weird head fake.
Well, you know, I think what they wanted to do was get all 23 grand jurors there to vote on it, because they probably, it's not the kind of case you would want to vote with less than close to the full amount. They probably wanted to get them there with as little fanfare as possible so they could get in and do what they thought they needed to do. So it worked. It was good head fake.
All right, what now? You've been involved in high profile cases in New York City for a long time, granted on the federal side. This is the state side. What would you anticipate happening now for everybody out there that is listening and trying to think, procedurally where we are headed, what the time frame will look like? What next?
Well, I think, obviously we have the circus in town on Tuesday, which is a pretty pro forma, normal event in a criminal case. They're going to bring the former president in. He's not going to be arrested. He'll be brought in the custody of the Secret Service to the DA's office. NYPD will be there. The DA's office, for those who don't know, in Lower Manhattan, is connected to the courthouse. They're in the same complex. So he'll be processed, which means fingerprints and mugshots. And then he'll be brought before a judge who will take a plea. He'll plead not guilty. And then as the New York Post is reporting, that Trump thinks that the judge is already selected and that it's the judge who had the case involving his financial guy at the Trump Organization, Alan Weisselberg, a judge by the name of Merchan. We'll have to see if that's true or not. But what will happen once Tuesday is done is Trump's not going to have bail conditions. This is a non-violent crime. So he'll be released on his own recognizance, and then the case will be in the hands of the judge who will be responsible for it thereafter, and there's going to be a slew of motion practice, because this is the unusual case where there's probably a lot of reasons, very colorable reasons, to move to dismiss the case. So it's a congested court, which means even normal cases don't get tried for a very, very long time. And here the complications attendant to it are immense. And guys, that's even assuming, for the sake of argument, that no other prosecutor files charges, which we, I don't think, can safely assume.
So Andy, can I ask on the, let's assume that it doesn't, if it has that judge who I think we could say is an anti-Trump judge, or a guy who's not inclined, this is not the judge that Trump would want there. The Trump people have already said, Trump's lawyer, I saw her last night, there's a couple of lawyers, but one of them said, Trump will absolutely not take a plea deal, because I would assume right. in a nonviolent, low-level campaign finance issue, right, usually this would be something that probably someone pays a fine, right, and they'd offer that, oh, you pay a fine, plead guilty. But if Trump says no, is there a real possibility, could this have any jail time attached to it? I mean, could someone actually go to...
I think, but in principle, the answer to that question would have to be yes, because what he's trying to do is inflate the misdemeanor into a felony, right? Now, as a matter of law, I don't think he can do it. So I think Bragg is going to lose on that. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that he's indicted him for felonies and he could get convicted of felonies. Each of those felonies is a 4-year count. And I that's a long-winded way of bringing me to my next point, which I don't think has gotten enough attention, but is something we should keep our eye on. And that is, apparently this is a 34 count indictment. And it's a kind of a typical prosecutorial abuse, which the Justice Department in federal cases has guidance telling federal prosecutors not to do this. That if you don't have a serious crime, what you try to do is camouflage with quality or quantity what you don't have in quality. You take something that shouldn't even be indicted at all and you turn it into 34 felony counts, and you hope to signal to the jury that, gee, the government wouldn't have charged 34 counts unless this was a really serious bad guy.
So, Andy, this is like the count of countless counts.
Right. So, look, any prosecutor can do this kind of thing. Like, if we three guys were, sitting around looking at our stolen property and we were passing it back and forth to each other, in theory, each time we passed it back and forth, I could charge a transfer of stolen property count, right, a felony count. But in reality, we're just sitting there with our stolen property, right, and one count would be plenty. And good prosecutors, ethical prosecutors who have serious cases, don't bring a million counts, because you don't need a million counts. The Justice Department guidance says that in any but the most serious cases, you shouldn't have more than 15 counts in an indictment. So to turn this thing, which the federal authority who had a jurisdiction over it, the Justice Department and the Federal Election Commission, they didn't pursue Trump on this, to turn it not only into a felony, but a state felony, but 34 felonies, by a district attorney who doesn't have jurisdiction over it, is mind-boggling.
Okay, that goes into what you just kind of hinted at. We're talking to Andy McCarthy, who is a former federal prosecutor in New York City. Okay, so this case may eventually go to a jury. There may be a resolution. I would presume, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that this would theoretically happen sometime in 2024, legitimately potentially in the middle of a presidential election year, which is crazy, right, by itself. Sure. But I believe that there are, and this is me putting my lawyer hat on, you're a far more skilled criminal lawyer than I am, so I want your opinion on this. When I read and analyze this, it seems to me there are clear statute of limitations issues, okay? And it also seems, and you talked about this with us the last time you were on, that trying to peg, in many ways, a state violation to federal election law violations is a very tenuous, without precedent in many ways, method of which President Trump is being charged. I think that as we move up in the appeals process, and it becomes a question of law for judges, both in New York and maybe then as it crosses over to higher level courts, theoretically this could go all the way to the Supreme Court, somebody is going to toss this out like the Supreme Court did. Buck mentioned it earlier, the Bob McDonald charges that convictions were obtained for in Virginia. Do you think that's likely? And if it is, this is a multi-year legal process where, I mean, Trump could theoretically be president of the United States before this thing is ever resolved.
Yeah, Clay, I would say you're not only talking about multi-years, your comparison to McDonnell is a good one to make this point. McDonnell was a federal case. So you have a straight line to the Supreme Court, right? You get your appeal to the Circuit Court of Appeals, and then you automatically go up to the Supreme Court. In the state system, Trump would have to go all the way through the state process, the state court that he's in, the appellate division to appeal it, the New York State Court of Appeals, and then when his whole New York thing is run, which takes years, if there's some federal issue that impacted the case, the Supreme Court could take it. And I say that as somebody who agrees with you that there are multiple reasons why, and I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but I think it's likely that this thing, if the judge is doing his job right, that this thing will be thrown out before it ever gets to trial. But what I would caution people is once a case is in the court, that is, once you've indicted the case and a judge is assigned, the prosecutor loses any control over the schedule. So a lot of this will have to do with the proclivities of the judge, and some of them tend to be a little eccentric. Even if this is the only case brought against Trump, even if the Fulton County people do nothing, the special counsel does nothing, I don't see this case getting to trial. You said 2024. I would say yes, no earlier than that, unless it gets thrown out before trial.
Okay, building on that, we simultaneously have, you just mentioned the Fulton County case. You've got now the New York City case. Also, you have the investigation going on into the Mar-a-Lago classified documents, as well as January 6th. I floated this idea. I'm curious what your expectation. This is the political as much as it is the legal, more so probably, that I expect eventually for the Biden administration to come out and adopt what I'm calling the Shaggy defense, which is saying, for those of you who remember the song back in the day, it wasn't me, right? That Biden can say, hey, this is a state court. I'm not involved in this at all. And that this could take Merrick Garland off of having to bring any federal charges, because really what Democrats want is Trump to face charges in some way. And if he gets them maybe in Atlanta and he's got them in New York City, the federal aspect of this, Biden could even say, hey, I'm going to pardon Trump and look like the good guy, but it wouldn't impact whether those state courses could still be proceeding. Do you buy into that idea?
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. What cuts against it is that it looks right now like the special counsel is stepping up his investigative activity. You know, the pursuit of having Pence testify in the grand jury. The bringing
right.
In
I guess what I'm saying, Andy, is Biden could look like the good guy by saying there's clear violations here, but I think it's bad for the country for my Department of Justice to be charging Trump with crimes. We're not going to do it. And then he still gets the benefit of the state courts doing it while also looking good guy.
But Andy, it sounds like you think that, because I think this, that there may actually be federal charges coming too.
Yeah, I think that, but, you know, two things to Clay's point. I think there's no hurry on the federal side, right? The statute of limitations on this stuff is not going to run till its earliest 2025. So they don't have to plant their feet. Biden can't, I don't think, come out and say, I don't want my Justice Department getting involved in this, because he's been a stickler from the beginning of saying that the White House has nothing to do with how the Justice Department is run. And because of the jeopardy that the Biden family is in, he can't afford to be taking the public position that he's actually, you know, wheeling and dealing and controlling what the Justice Department does. So I don't see him doing that, but I could see him doing a silent version of it, whereas, like, the Justice Department has a lot of investigative activity like they're doing now, but they don't actually charge anything. They get all the benefit of the circus going on in the state proceedings. And in the meantime, they can afford to keep their powder dry because they don't have to charge Trump until 2025, the earliest.
So, Andy, in your mind, just one more for you, then we got to run to a break.
Yeah.
Is there a realistic chance that they put Donald Trump in a cell at some point with all these different investigations in your mind? Or are you worried that that's actually what they think is going to happen?
I don't. Unless he gets convicted of something, Buck, I don't see that. If he gets convicted, then it's going to depend on what he gets convicted. If it's this nonsense in New York, you know, I'm tempted to say there's no way, except, you know, you guys mentioned the accountant before. Weisselberg is sitting in Rikers Island. You know, what you were saying before.
Right, sorry, well, that's why to me it has to be taken seriously, because his accountant, they got him on the most kind of low-level Mickey Mouse nonsense.
Well, but also he's got Secret Service protection. Yeah. So I don't even know how you could put him in, like, but what would happen if Trump were elected president and simultaneously he was found guilty of a state court charge? Could he be president of the United States from a jail cell? I mean, I'm just trying to even think through the permutations here, Andy.
And I think what the Supreme Court would say is, If the Congress does not impeach and remove him, then what the Constitution says is you have to be over 35, a natural born United States citizen, and resident in the country for 14 years. If you meet those qualifications, the American people, if they want to elect someone who's doing time in Leavenworth, there's nothing the Constitution says they can't.
So, I mean, literally, he could run the presidency from Rikers Island.
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, that to me, that would be a good reason why, you know, you have to start thinking about impeachment if we got to that point. But, you know, this is so unprecedented. Anyone tells you that they know how this is going to work out with all the things
right.
that we're now going to go through that we've never gone through before? Who
I mean, it's
knows?
Like a legal hypothetical, Andy, like where you're just kind of throwing out random things that have never happened before.
I mean, this is wild because no one knows where it's going to go. Andy, we need to do like a 2-hour sit down podcast with you about this. So we'll have to talk to your people about it. So we got to run to a break now. Everyone look for Andy, National Review and on Fox News. Andy McCarthy, always illuminating, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You know, Clay, one quick thing that I just keep for I just want to introduce in the conversation because I've been meaning to say this. One of the reasons they're doing this charge too, why this is the first one, is because they were trying to humiliate Trump. It's about the nature of the charge too. The Democrats really get excited about that. They really want to talk about porn stars and payoffs, and they want to make it much more personal than the Georgia election issue, right? This is much more personal. So it just gives you a sense of the mindset. They're really doing it to try to humiliate the guy. It's grotesque. All right. It pays to prepare in every way, and that includes everything from natural disasters to economic and political disruptions. That's why we seriously recommend you stock up on emergency food. It's the kind of thing you don't want to look back on and wish you'd done because it's so easy to do now. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com. They've got everything, but we recommend their popular 3-month emergency food kit. Get yours now while it's on sale at MyPatriotSupply.com and save $200 per kit. Each kit gives you a wide variety of delicious breakfast, lunches, dinners, drinks, and snacks, providing over 2,000 calories a day for optimum strength and energy. Carrie and I have these emergency food kits in our home. Clay's got them in his home. You just want to have them. Act now and claim your $200 savings per kit. You'll sleep better knowing your family won't suffer if the worst ever happens. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. And you'll enjoy free shipping, too. MyPatriotSupply.com. No one can predict what's going to happen, but you can prepare, and you should. That preparation brings you peace of mind. MyPatriot Supply knows this better than anyone. They can hook you up today, so go to MyPatriotSupply.com.
The voices of sanity in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick turn here because we just had such an interesting conversation with Andy McCarthy. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back for the rest of the show. Again, Benjamin Hall is going to join us in the third hour. He was horribly injured in Ukraine. Fox News reporter, I think you will enjoy that conversation as we finish off the show on Friday. But I want your calls here, 800-282-2882. We've discussed the indictment. What is the political ramification of that indictment? Does it help or hurt Trump? That is, I think, the most interesting aspect of this going forward. Let's discuss that. Good calls, good interaction. Both Buck and myself will be sharing our opinions on how exactly that all breaks down. We will discuss with you when we come back. In the meantime, MyPillow, they got a lot of fun. One of the fastest moving sales in the history of the company. They're having a massive closeout sale on their famous My Slippers. All season slippers, four layers of cushioning. You can wear them indoors all year round. You can wear them out to pick up your kids at school, as my wife does. You can wear them everywhere because they are so incredibly comfortable. And right now, you can get them for $25. Regularly, they are nearly $150. You're getting $120 off right now. This sale is so popular, you can only order 10 pairs at checkout. You will love these, $25 each. My wife has already bought 10 more pairs herself. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, grab a pair, all season slippers, just $25. That's $125 off the regular purchase price. You can buy 10 of them at checkout. Enter promo code Clay and Buck, 800-792-3269.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. On the front lines of truth.
You guys are all fired up. Obviously, we're in unprecedented times. What the Democrats have done is, you know, you have to be careful with the words here. I was going to say, you know, shocking, and but we've known they were completely unethical. We've known that they were planning to do something like this. So in some sense, I guess, we were prepared, even though we realize how bad this is for the country. It's just crazy. It's crazy. I'm trying to think of other words that I can say on the radio without getting in trouble. Let's get to some of your calls. Also, your emails, by the way, Clay and Buck VIP. Go to clayandbuck.com. Please become a VIP subscriber. You can email us directly. It's kind of like the bat phone, but it's the Clay and Buck. But it's an email box. So that doesn't really work. So it's the bat email box, which doesn't make any sense. So I'm just going to step away from that one. Let's get Todd in Houston, Texas. Todd, you've got some thoughts on the politics of this indictment. What's going on?
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. I don't think that you're right on the Democrats not wanting him to run. I think they're scared of him to run. We need to remember that President Trump only lost by 40,000 votes, and that's between, you know, the states of Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Yep.
And, you know, give me
Arizona, I think.
Andy, yeah, can I give you, by the way, I am by no means saying that your theory or your idea is incorrect. They may very well be totally spot on. What do you think, though, about that was when he was an incumbent? Now he's running as a challenger. Do you think that matters a lot?
No, I don't. I think he'll be strong. And you guys even have referenced recently Lunkin's success in Virginia, you know, that with that state maybe being in play. And I think a lot of those that you said would stayed home the last time and what's going on now and on top of all.
Can I say something, Todd, that I think is in line with your theory also, or rather would add to your sense of this? Because, by the way, I don't pretend to know, and no one knows, right? But your sensibility here, or rather your analysis, I think, is very astute. It was COVID. I mean, we had an election, you know, forget about everything else and the ballot, you know, the COVID year, it was, people weren't themselves. The whole psychology of the country was turned upside down. So this would be, just based on that alone, a very different election.
Todd's asking the most important question from a political perspective, right? Not the legal, not the precedent going forward. Let's presume that we're squaring up and it's going to be Trump versus Biden rematch 2024. Okay. The question that I think is the most paramount here is 81 million people, according to the tally, I don't want to get all the emails about, oh, they, okay, 81 million people showed up and voted for Joe Biden, according to the tally in 2020. Around 75 million showed up and voted for Donald Trump in 2020. We see rematches all the time in sports, right? Outcome can be different. Happens all the time. My question, and I don't claim to know the answer, I don't think anyone can know the answer. Of the 81 million votes that Joe Biden got in 2020, how many of those people would show up and vote for Joe Biden again in 2024? Of the 75 million that Trump got, how many of those 75 million would show up and vote for Trump again? And significantly, how many, let's say there's 156 million votes that came in, how many of those people out there who voted in 2020 would change their opinion? The caller is right. 20,000 vote opinion change, right? Buck, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia. If you change 20,000 votes in those three states, Donald Trump wins the election. That's how close it was. Would have been 269, 269. House of Representatives would have decided who the president was in 2020. So, to me, the question you have to ask is, how does the calculus change in 2024 if Trump's the guy? And remember, Trump lost because suburban voters, these are the same voters that didn't vote for Herschel Walker outside of Atlanta, the voters that did not vote for Donald Trump outside of Milwaukee, voters that did not vote for Donald Trump actually in the Phoenix area, are those people more likely to change their opinions? Because I think most of the states would stay the same, 44 or so of them.
So we also got an email in from a VIP who has a different take on this than Todd. Susan writes in, the constant beating of the drums last night that the GOP now has no choice but to unite behind Trump as the only candidate is offensive. I want Alvin Bragg to pick my candidate like I want a hole in my head. Trump might bring out the worst in these hacks, but he was the one who knew Stormy Daniels. He was the one who hired Michael Cohen. He is the one that tried to rely upon silly voting machine attorneys. His bad judgment never ends and is very tiresome. If the Democrats stick with Trump as the GOP candidate, I will be very bummed. Is that the goal or what? Biden is quiet because he could be right behind them, right behind him. Thoughts. Let me just say,
smart.
This
email.
Is there. We have diverse perspectives on the issue of the GOP's future among this audience. And before anyone, I swear that is an email from a VIP. Okay, where this is actually coming from a listener.
I think the question that we got from our caller in Houston, and you say that was Susan, who you're reading mm-hmm. a VIP email from.
Yeah,
these are very astute answers and questions that are being asked. And here's the reality: no one knows. Right. So if you're out there right now, like, oh, this guarantees that X is going to happen, I would just say you are, to be fair, crazy, because we're 9 months away still from the first votes in the primary season being cast. We don't know how this is going to play out in the short term, Buck. I don't think there's any doubt. I think this benefits Trump. I just put up a poll question and I said, does this make you more or less likely to vote for Donald Trump, right? What just happened, more or less likely, thousands of you have voted already, and 78% are saying makes me more likely to vote for Donald Trump. 22% are saying less likely. Okay, so how is that going to play over time? And
right.
And To what extent, how does Trump handle this? Buck, I think there's now reports that he's going to be arraigned at 2:15 on Tuesday. That is going to be a zoo in New York City. He then has the opportunity to come out and speak on the courthouse steps in what will probably be one of the most watched comments slash moments of Donald Trump's political career. What does he say? Last night I said the message should be not that he's a victim, in my opinion, but that this is everything wrong with America, and that if you want it to continue to be a banana republic, you have to support Joe Biden. Or is he going to come out? Is he going to take shots at DeSantis? Is he going to say I'm an awful victim?
Yeah, yeah. I would say that the fact that they went with this charge at this stage, after all the stuff that we have heard, it would be one thing if, I don't know, they caught Trump taking money from Chinese and Ukrainian business interests to the tune of millions of dollars that he didn't pay taxes on and was clearly trying to hide through LLCs. You can't really defend that, right?
Correct.
Unless you're Joe Biden's son, in which case it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, if they had him on something where we all would have to say, you know, I mean, you did really break the law and it does kind of matter, that would be an entirely different conversation. They've gotten him on something that we can sit here in good faith and say, Andy McCarthy, Clay and I were just saying this off air too, always a straight, knows the stuff backwards and forwards, but is always a straight shooter too. He doesn't say what he thinks people want to hear on one side or the other. And he's sitting here and he's like, this is crazy. This is just crazy that they're bringing this indictment. So that's part of why I think it's not just they're indicting a former president. And I think this is a really important separation to establish. They are indicting a former president in a way or on a basis that should get the prosecutor disbarred. That's how egregious and flimsy and absurd and politicized this is.
And so it might get him the governor's office.
Which is in New York, 100%.
Alvin Bragg, and this is what we told you for I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this either. It can be nationally a poor decision for Alvin Bragg to bring these charges. For purposes of his state political standing, he has elevated himself to a level that every district attorney in America is jealous of, if you're a Democrat.
For anyone, and our WOR audience certainly knows this backwards and forwards, although a lot of them who live in some of the outlying suburbs in Staten Island deal with this a whole lot less. But for anyone who doesn't know what it's like, for people living in a place like New York, imagine you're in a room with, you know, with 10 people, and 9 of them think that double masking alone outside because Fauci says so is a great idea. They think that, you know, Kamala Harris is a great leader of the future and we should all unite behind her. They think, you know, go down the list. 9 of the 10 people in the room with you think that. That is New York City. That's the way it is in some of these Democrat strongholds. So just, there is no voice of reason. That's why I'm trying to just establish this for everybody. There's no one really saying, hey, hold on a second. We have to get a handle on things. So anyway, we'll take more calls, more emails, because this is, it's important that all of you, have your voices heard by your fellow conservatives and fellow patriots all across the country. So we'll bring more of that in. Then we have, coming up, obviously, we're going to have the, interview, and we're looking forward to speaking to Benjamin Hall about, you know, his book and his story, which is coming up in just a few minutes. Like everything else affected by inflation, it's more expensive than ever for gun owners to train at the range. But now there's a way to keep your skills sharp without draining your funds on all the ammo you're going to burn through. It's a technique called dry fire practice, and you can do it with Mantis X. This firearms training system is a no ammo, all electronic way to improve your shooting accuracy. Simply attach it to your firearm like a weapon light. Connects to a phone app you download that gives you data-driven, real-time feedback and guides you through drills and courses. Almost everyone using Mantis X improves within 20 minutes, and it's fun to use, too. This product is being used by U.S. military and special forces. It's military-grade technology at an affordable price. The Mantis X is a must-have for every gun owner. You believe in your Second Amendment rights, you must also act on your Second Amendment responsibility to be competent in your shooting. Start improving your accuracy today. Get yours at MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com.
Geek out with the guys on the Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast. A new episode every Sunday. Find it on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me and co-host Leah Rose for in-depth creative conversations with the artists you love. Over the past 5 years, we've interviewed some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Pharrell, Damon Albarn, Andre 3000, and Usher. And you'll hear from rock icons like Pete Townsend, who shares wild stories about his formative years with The Who, and Johnny Marr, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of The Smiths, who has an unwavering devotion to his craft. Or the stories behind the legendary hits Babyface wrote for Whitney Houston and Madonna, plus how he collaborates with the new generation of R&B stars like Kehlani and Doechii. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Run through some of your calls here to close out the second hour of the program. Obviously, we are reacting to the indictment, first time in the 240-year history of the United States that a former president or president, anyone running for office like this, has been indicted. Gretchen in Georgia, what do you think?
Well, what I think is whatever they try to do to Trump, Trumpsters are going to vote for Trump. I know a lot of small town Democrats that voted for Biden don't want him to run again. They think he's too old and too incompetent, and they don't like Trump. So what I think is going to happen is those Democrats won't vote at all.
They'll stay
home. So that could be a plus for Trump.
Yes, it's a great, that's, look, the reality is, Buck, we don't know, but the question I'm asking, which I think you all have to consider as we move through all of this crazy process, is 81 million people voted for Joe Biden in 2020. And I'm not going to have an argument about, like, oh, well, they changed, like, 81 million people, okay? As one of our callers pointed out, 20,000 voters changed their minds in Wisconsin, in Georgia, in Arizona. Trump wins, right? How many of those 81 million will show up for Biden, and how many of the 75 million will show up for Trump? What would change in 2024? That's a theory. Gretchen says some of those people who voted against Trump, and Buck, I think your point on, hey, it was COVID, right? People were fearful. They thought that Biden was going to return normalcy. He hasn't done it. My biggest fear about the rerun in 2024, if we get it, it should be a referendum on Biden. If Trump runs,
yeah, but it won't
it's
be.
Always about
but
Trump.
It won't be. This is the
That's
problem.
Right.
Well, you and I both know that. Biden is irrelevant. He's a stand-in
yes.
for Democrat. He
Correct.
Is, you know, he is the supermarket on the shelf store brand version of a Democrat. It just doesn't matter. No one votes for him. They vote against Trump.
That's right.
Or they just vote Democrat because that's who they are. So this is why we often understand it's a question of machinery, and I want everyone to be ready for this too. Let's assume it is going to be Trump. This time around, if it's Trump as the nominee, there needs to be a willingness to say, hey, don't hire idiots. Don't hire people who are morons. People have to be willing to say that to him. I'm just, you know, this is the part of it. And say it like a coach whose heart and soul is with the team that he wants to win. Because there were a lot, I went through this, a lot of people in 2020, oh, he knows exactly what he's doing. His campaign manager at some point was arrested shirtless on the front lawn in Florida or whatever. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't know exactly what he's doing. We're here to help because we want him to be the best version of him so that he can save the country and he can beat these lunatic communists. So
Kevin,
that's one thing I want to just throw down with right now. The personnel side, the man, you love him. I love him. He needs help on personnel. Full stop. So I just want everyone to get ready for that. If he is, in fact, you know, the nominee. And look, even Andy said, can I just put out there? I said, Andy, do you think they might actually try to lock him up? It wasn't no. It's not likely, but it's not a zero chance. If he takes this thing all the way, yeah, I don't think he's going to go away for a long time. But Clay, if you won't take a plea bargain, it's a felony.
Yeah.
What do they do with the felon who won't take a plea bargain? They lock them up if they're convicted.
That's why I'm saying when you're in law school, Buck, the way you get judged is you have final exams. And your professors come up with all sorts of crazy hypotheticals. That's why I was saying, is there a hypothetical universe where Trump could be convicted of New York state law, sentenced to prison, and simultaneously after that, elected as United States president, and he is the president from a New York City jail or prison?
Okay, we're getting a little far down the line.
No, but I'm just saying,
it's theoretically
like in theory,
possible.
Theoretically, that's possible. I mean, the question that I've been asking, which no one seems to even think about, is how do you put someone with Secret Service protection in jail?
Congress would have to probably take some action to address it. I don't know how else.
Well, you can't take away the Secret Service protection of Trump because somebody would kill him in prison. Do you have any doubt about, like, the whole thing is crazy?
Trump would go into it. I can't believe we're even talking about this. They would clearly put him in some sort of administrative segregation where he'd be held. But he's not going. I don't think he's going to prison for any of this.
This is all crazy.
Keeps saying, when we say he may be found guilty, understand, we know he didn't do anything. We know this whole thing is a farce, but they may see it through.
This is why the New York judges need to toss out this indictment, because legally it isn't supportable. And again, I think a jury would convict them. Kevin in Cincinnati has a really good question. And I'm going to be honest with you, Kevin. I don't know the answer, but float your question.
This goes back to what you guys were talking about before with the whole breaking of the dam analogy. If he does end up getting indicted in Georgia, can Brian Kemp pardon him?
Yes.
Fantastic. For state law violations, would the governor of Georgia be able to pardon Trump?
And wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be quite a turnabout? Brian Kemp could step in. And by the way, I think he should step in.
Remember, some people are like, oh, Trump can pardon himself, which is a crazy legal theory.
Not only if he's president.
Well, also only if it's federal charges.
Right.
You can't pardon someone for state charges, which is why I'm saying Biden can throw up his hands and be like, I'm not involved in New York City or Georgia, but the governor of Georgia is Brian Kemp, who Trump has been feuding with for years now. Ugh. Like, there's so many. Again, this is such a crazy spot. We'll break it down more for you when we return. Clay and Buck.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Justin Richmond, host of the Broken Record Podcast. Join me, along with co-host Leah Rose, as we sit down with the artists you love to get unparalleled creative insight. You'll hear revealing interviews with some of the most legendary figures in music, like Paul Simon, Usher, Pete Townsend, Damon Albarn of the Gorillaz, and Missy Elliott. And you'll hear from up-and-comers, like jazz artist Leve, who told me about her fast rise to fame during the pandemic. Listen to Broken Record on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.